This is a special edition I decided to publish as part of my podcast. I've been working hard on getting my voice back, being creative again, and also being brutally honest with myself and my past. Today, I'm going to bare all in a tell-all. Be prepared. Some people may be shocked, especially since I'm admitting to some stuff many people, particularly women, wouldn't. But I'm not one to shy away from the truth. It is what it is. I am me, and I won't apologise or feel ashamed of that any longer. Welcome to the episode known as Let's Fuck or You Slut, the two opinions I feel people are going to classify me as after this. Just kidding, this episode is called The List. As someone who studied anthropology at university, I feel that The List is almost a scientific document in that it's an insight into my sexual life as a predominantly single female in Japan. The List is, well, a list of men and one woman I was intimately involved with during my time in Hiroshima. By intimate, I mean there was sexual touch, but not necessarily sex. I sat and wrote the list the other night at my favourite bar in town. As I sat staring at it, thinking it was complete, and then suddenly realising I'd forgotten so-and-so, it struck me. It's long. It's very long. To be honest, I'm surprised I didn't end up pregnant. There were a few scares, mostly due to the shitty ex who wouldn't wear a condom and my stupidity at not insisting that he did, and also the fact that A, I'm allergic to them, and B, it feels so much better without one. Or with an STD or STI. Or raped. Oh wait, that did happen, but not with a random, with that same shitty ex who I was apparently in a relationship with. Overall, I would say I've been very, very lucky. Very lucky. Japanese men, for the most part, are gentlemen. Gaijin men, or foreigners, on the other hand, are a whole different story. And I will say, kudos to the Japanese guys. You have always respected me. Even when you were cheating on your wife. The list definitely got me thinking. Firstly, I was shocked at how much of a slut I've been. But then my logic kicked in and boomed in a loud voice, "Men can do it, why the fuck can't women?" The answer, of course, is double standards. Slut is a social construct, and whether or not a woman actually sleeps with a man or woman, if she is seen leaving a place with them, walking home early in the morning in her outfit from the day or night before, or anything else that society deems as slutty, then that's the name she will be called. I will say, though, that I've never been called a slut in my life. I think people just assumed I was confident and wouldn't have cared what they thought anyway. That's true, but I know I'm my own worst enemy and critic. I judge myself harsher than anybody. We all do. I wouldn't judge someone else that does that, but I do judge myself, and I need to learn to stop doing that. When doubt started to creep in again, I emailed a few male friends who didn't understand what my problem was. One said, "That's called life experience." Another said it was a good thing because now I know what I want and need from a guy or girl in a relationship. A female friend said, "Wow, you're a pro." By that she meant professional, not prostitute, although I can't see anything wrong with being one of them either, as long as you're safe and you're happy with your choice. I always figured that if you're single, shouldn't this be the time when you work out what it is you really want? I was a late bloomer in that I didn't do the whole one-night stand thing until I was in my 30s. Sure, I'd been in sexual relationships in my late teens, 17, 18, 19, and my early 20s, but I didn't go crazy. I was too busy being obsessed with my eating disorder to have time for anyone or anything else. I guess when I finally got over that, I went a little nuts. Some people would say I was just being normal and doing normal things that everyone does in their 20s. I have always liked to think, though, that I don't do those kind of things. Turns out I do, because I'm human and normal. The list also got me thinking about shame. I've been made to feel a lot of shame, as I know every single woman has. It can be the result of an early relationship, often with our own fathers, who think we should or shouldn't be a certain way. It doesn't have to be about sexual matters. The most shame, though, was with my ex of 2 years ago. I have been working really hard to get over that because obviously it wasn't a typical breakup. He had this preconceived idea I was a party girl who drank a lot and slept around. If the list is anything to go by, apparently he was right. Then again, unlike him, I didn't have a secret past. With me, what you saw is what you got, and that's still true. Maybe that's the reason he hooked up with me in the first place. I have no idea, and I'll probably never know, or want to know. I feel in writing the list and also making this knowledge very public, it's been almost cathartic. I feel like a great weight has been lifted off my chest. Even if people judge me, it doesn't matter because I've been honest with myself and have, in a way, released that shame. As far as the actual statistics of the list, let me run through a few of them. Firstly, in total, over 3 and a bit years, nearly 4 in Hiroshima, I was involved with 27 people, 26 guys and 1 girl. Of that, 11 were gaijin or foreigners and 16 were Japanese. Already, you can see my preference. If I'm going to be really specific, because I know some people like that, one was African and one was African American. I also separated it into years, although some of those people I was with multiple times in different years, so they don't all add up to 27. 2014, I started off slow at just 4 people, but the next year I more than doubled it with 11. In 2016, I was with 8 people, and in 2017, 7. This year it's back to 3. I can safely say without a doubt it won't ever be as high as 2015. Of everyone though, I only slept with 9 of them, 8 men and 1 female. 4 of them I slept with more than once. 1 of them I slept with far too much, and all of those sober, bar one time, so it's not like I can call it a mistake. It was though. It was the biggest mistake of my life. The majority of these were also drunken encounters. I don't mean I was completely out of it, I mean that I had been drinking at the time. Most of them had too, apart from the rape incident where he was fucking sober, and I was, well, unconscious for a lot of it. When I drink, like everyone, I become the extremely confident person who has no hesitation in making it clear what I want. But, and this is the weird part, if I really like a guy, I would never proposition him. Again, like everyone, I'm not a huge fan of rejection, so sometimes I'd prefer to keep the fantasy in my mind alive about there being a chance instead of actually taking one. If I really like someone, I would never be drunk and tell them. I just wouldn't risk something so important. As for married men, as you do in Japan, 6 of them still had wives, even though a few of them tried to defend this by saying they were separated. Another was divorced with 2 kids, and let me say, hell no, I won't be doing that again. It's too much baggage for me to handle. Something I am very proud of though, none of these people were the result of any dating apps. I detest those things. I have used them briefly, but never stayed on them long enough to actually go on a date with anyone. These were all real people I met in real life time. Some of them were and are still good friends of mine, others were friends of friends, and others were simply chance encounters. I won't lie, there are 3 guys whose names I don't remember. I will also say that it's not fair to think or say that only men have the ability to just sleep with someone and then leave. I'd love to be able to say I felt powerful or good about myself with all of these people that I've slept with and been involved with, but the majority of them I didn't. I woke up feeling empty, which is why over the years the numbers have dropped. Many, although not all times obviously, it was like I was trying to fill a part of myself with something else. Sex does not always equate to love, and love needs to come from yourself first. Sometimes, though, I was just horny and wanted sex. It's as simple as that. I still have remnants of shame that stick to me almost like cobwebs, but I'm slowly clearing them. I'm learning that it's okay to be sexual, it's okay to want sex, it's okay to not want sex, it's okay to be loved and to feel safe, and it's equally okay to sleep with whoever you want as long as it's consensual on both sides. It's also okay to have a drink or many drinks. That doesn't excuse bad sexual behaviour. In the beginning, I was ashamed of the list, but it's grown on me. So much so that I've decided to carry it around with me in my wallet. It's a reminder of who I was, what I did and who, and where I was figuratively at a certain point in my life. It's not good or bad, it just is. It also serves as a point of reference to see how far I've come, what I do and don't like and will and won't accept as far as sexual partners and acts. And it shows me that I've kissed a lot of frogs, but haven't found, I hesitate to say prince, someone I want a long-term monogamous relationship with. So, until then, well, it depends how I feel.
The podcast you just heard was published with Anchor. Got something you want to say to the creator of this show? Send them a voice message using the Anchor app, free for iOS and Android.